This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-Hour Energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
Did you know there's an online tool that can help you find information on almost anyone within minutes? Confidentially search millions of public records by phone number, address, name, or email to find out more. Go to truthfinder.com to find information about almost anyone now.
Here we go, hour one of the G-Bag Nation as Alabama State with the first bucket of the game. They lead number one Auburn 3-0. As we get a tourney Thursday underway here on 105.3 The Fan. Welcome into the show. General at your service. If you see me, bear me. N.A., looking forward to a what you drinking, what you thinking tomorrow at Cold Beers and Cheeseburgers. There's Brian Braz, former Cowboy Scout, NFL Executive, Super Bowl champion. Lucius Alexander was in the Pimp Cup over there, Master Control. Come say hi to Lucius and all of us tomorrow. We'll be in Euless 2 to 7. Wolchuk and Schiafalo reunited. It feels so good here.
It does, man. It feels so good when Wolchuk sits in studio with us.
Yeah.
Welcome back, buddy. Nice job with KMC.
Thanks, man.
Seriously, dude.
I will say there is something nice about the middays, which I'm sure, Gavin, you might have missed when you guys were 10 to 3.
Just a little bit.
For years.
Just a little bit.
It is a great time slot for the family.
Yes.
It is. But in radio, of course, like the goal is AM, PM drive. So love where we're at, but... just for life, yeah, 10 to 2 is pretty sexy.
Your life has been better over the last 3 days than it has been over the last 365.
Well, happy wife, happy life. And yeah. She was very happy that I was able to help more around the house.
By the way, good rebuttal to that. As a man, she hit you with happy wife, happy life, like trying to get you in gear. Uh-huh. How about happy spouse, happy house?
I like that.
Now all of a sudden, ball's back in our favor.
Ooh, let's have a little bit of reciprocity.
Just swing the momentum a little bit.
Yeah.
I liked what you're...
and you'll stun her that first time.
Yes.
From experience, they don't know what to do.
It's the power of the rhyme. You know, take them off their game just a little bit. Put them on their heels, off the attack. Just, a little bit more even Steven is what I'd appreciate when it comes to that kind of thing. You know?
Yeah. Yeah.
It's just eye to eye. It resets a cultural norm that's toxic.
Yeah, you know? And that's what we're trying to move away from.
It's biblical, Brian. You know what we're talking about over
biblical.
Here.
Biblical, yep, absolutely.
In your Texas dad hoodie. Look at this guy just longhorned up.
Yeah, I had to find something to match the joggers today. I'm kind of in that mode now.
Oh, we're trying
the joggers. I think I've quit in life.
I love how
I turned into Dawson. I've
congrats.
Just quit. I've just quit and wore joggers every day.
Team sweatpants.
I'm kind of looking forward to be maybe, can you do this when it's like 85 degrees?
Yeah.
Can you break these out?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you can take these up to 95.
95?
I think
they're
so.
Breathable.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For sure.
I kind of feel like, though, when I reach in the closet and I see him hanging there, I'm kind of like, Dawson would appreciate
now,
this.
Now, what you're going to learn, though, is there is a summer sweatpant, you know, and you're going to have to explore that, find the right.
Oh, there's a summer sweatpant.
Yeah, they're lighter material, you know.
Seersucker sweatpant?
Very, very breezy.
Excuse me? Breathy.
Yeah, breezy.
You ever heard of seersucker before?
No.
No.
Really?
Sounds like a... no experience.
It's an old suit. It's like a lightweight suit.
It's a brand?
Yeah, it's very breathable. If you have to go to one of your friends getting married in the summertime, you need to break one of these out. Because it's a suit that it's like, just like wearing, it's just so lightweight.
Sounds like something you'd find like on a high school field trip in Galveston.
Get down there in the tide pools. There's some seersuckers.
Seersuckers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm doing some biology.
I'm surprised you guys, with all those movies you watch about with lawyers and stuff like that, you've never seen a seersucker suit.
I might have seen one. I just didn't know that that's what it was.
Yeah.
My ears have never heard burning, the stuff word like seersucker.
Oh, okay.
How do you
that's
even spell
crazy
that?
Yeah.
Seersucker. I think it's S-E-E and then sucker. Mm-hmm.
Oh, it's one word.
Yeah.
Never heard of the seersucker suit until now, but it seems like a fairly common suit.
Looks nice.
Yeah. Yeah, it's
very lightweight. Like I said, if you have to wear something in the summertime, it's a must. Why did we just waste 2 minutes?
Well, it just sounds like a vulgar term.
It does.
You're a vulgar guy. I thought you were swearing at us for a second.
I wasn't swearing at you. You'll know when I swear at you.
That's true.
I'll stand up.
Oh, yeah, you will. And you'll point.
And I'll point.
Sports fans at DFW would no doubt be swearing in frustration if Anthony Davis does return and, you know, it doesn't go well. I guess we'll just hope for the best. But Tim McMahon reporting that AD not listening to the members of the organization trying to talk him out of a return.
Yeah.
Could return as early as next week. I guess it's good to know there are some over there trying to talk him out of it. Not sure who.
They were working with Lively today.
Yeah.
To get him back. Yeah.
Well, I was going to say, doesn't it put pressure on Lively and Gafford to come back?
Oh, they're all trying.
If Anthony Davis is coming back, then
they're
all
trying.
Well, I was just saying, you know, like, I mean, Lively has a stress fracture in his ankle. You don't want to try it. That's not one you want to be coming back from, you know, quickly.
They're working with him today.
But hopefully, I mean, I guess what we saw again last night, and like I said a couple of days ago, is they're finding ways to get enough offense, even though they don't have a real point guard. Could that work against a great defense in a 7-game playoff series? Probably not. It would probably be exploited, you know, especially against Oklahoma City, who does such a great job of denying entry. But maybe there's a matchup you could like. You get all three bigs back. They're scoring enough. They just got to play defense and rebound the ball better, which those three guys would cure. You know, I guess we hope for the best that they have some fun in the spring. They have their version of success. Maybe they could win a playoff series and nobody gets hurt. That would be my biggest case right now is we're already up against it going into next year. Let's not make it worse.
You know, I asked a couple of guys over there about tank talk.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, man, we hear it all the time. But he goes, we're not good enough. If you just let us play, we'll naturally lose games. We're just not good enough. We don't have to talk about tanking. He goes, we just don't have the players to compete. We get to the last 6-7 minutes of a game and it's close, so we can't close a game.
Yeah.
So we
saw that last night.
So naturally they feel like that they don't have the bodies to win games.
We're talking about three guys who would change the dynamic pretty good, though, don't you think?
Well, I think without a point guard, they'd still be in trouble.
Oh, yeah, for sure. They're not contending, you know, and that's why you should go to Davis and be like, what's the big win here?
It's personal now.
He just wants to put on a great show for the fans. And tip your hat to AD for that.
Yeah.
You know, AD wants to go out there and be like, see, this can be great. Yeah. And I love that about him. But I'm hoping. I'm reading excerpts from Tim McMahon's book, though. Basically, what you're looking at is that last strained calf on Christmas Day, the fourth time he'd done that in 28 months, it set Nico off.
Mm.
And they were like F-bombs. He was like, it's the same bleeping thing again, because this was, you know, a reoccurring deal. And Nico believes that, you know, it was all due to bad fitness, but not getting in the best shape possible.
Optimum shape, yeah.
Was putting this added load on his calf that kept straining it. And they were really trying to get him to a spot where the calf wouldn't be a problem. And then when it happened again, it was like, oh, man. So I guess Nico would believe that Luka's, you know, going well now, but he probably thinks he'll get hurt, you know, fairly soon. And I guess that's the thing to watch. If that happens again, Nico would probably be sitting back like, see, told you. What do you think now? Like, what would Mavs fans' reaction be if Luka has another calf that keeps him out of a playoff run? That would be a very interesting twist in the story, wouldn't it?
Well, it would be interesting if all of a sudden they're battling for positioning and then he gets hurt doing that.
Mm-hmm.
And then things kind of fall apart like it was before they made the trade.
I mean, remember this happened before they played the Jazz when they had to have Jalen Brunson basically win a playoff series for them so they could, you know, get Luka back and ultimately go to the conference finals.
Yeah, I mean, it would soften the blow for him for sure if Luka ends up getting hurt. But
no one will ever be able to justify.
Just don't wish for hurtness.
The return.
Mavs
yeah, the return.
It's yeah. not going to feel any better.
Yeah. It'll help a little bit. If Luka ends up going on some type of Joel Embiid, Kawhi Leonard superstar who is just synonymous with not playing over the next half decade, then I think that softens things for sure. Like, Nico wasn't completely out of his mind in his projection, but also it was still you got nowhere close to the return that you should have.
He'd be proven right on, like, the body breaking down a little bit. So, yeah, I mean, you could say, like, okay, Nico, I guess your long play here made some sense. I don't think that's going to happen.
Yeah, no, I don't either. I wouldn't bet on that happening. I think what happens is, you know, you get a great player and, you know, eventually you start appreciating what he's great at and you start paying attention to what he's failing at. And we're all humans. Every star has faults. Like, Dirk partied too hard and didn't play any defense, Brian.
With this guy who just showed up, you're the guy that will tell me what's going to happen to a guy. All of a sudden it's like, not getting rest. Doing this, he's going to break down. What happened to that guy?
Well, can I answer the question, Brian? You're going to call me out and then not let me answer?
Yeah, I will. No,
Lisa!
I just was curious.
Allow me to speak, sir.
I was just, I yield the balance of my time to the senator from the Great Pacific Northwest.
Okay, so, I mean, it's a good question. I don't think Luka has had, like, the big catastrophic injuries. You know what I mean? Like, so I don't look at Luka as an injury-prone player right now.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a change for you, huh?
I don't think so. He hasn't had...
You're usually telling me, you know what, though, when you're out of shape, your conditioning's poor, the hookah thing's going along pretty poorly for him.
True.
You're usually telling me that why a guy breaks down, which I respect the heck out of, by the way.
And I appreciate you following up on that, but that was a reaction to a scenario that Chiafalo had created that he goes on an Embiid or Kawhi Leonard type run for the next five years.
Okay.
Wolchuk then said, I don't think that's going to happen. And I said, I don't think so either.
Oh, that's surprising for me, for you.
Well, I mean, so his body keeps failing, but not in a way that's a torn ACL or a torn
Achilles.
You're
usually the voice of reason on this.
They've got him back.
Don't pay Porzingis. Don't pay DeGrom.
We're going to get to the bottom of this mysterious.
Luka's not even on the same conversation as those guys. Like, those guys missed substantial amount of time. Luka's missed, like, maybe a month here.
If he wasn't missing because of the calf injury, you might not have traded him.
No, you're absolutely right. I think your dead ball is on right about that. You've been saying that for like 6 weeks.
You think so, Wolchuk?
Yeah.
No, because I think we also heard that they kept him away. Like, he could have come back and played, and they didn't want him around the team, and they used the calf as the reason for that.
They were working on a trade?
Yeah, I just feel like Nico had made his mind up. So, I mean, you would have gotten Luka back, and he'd be playing more than Anthony Davis is for you right now. But, I mean, they just decided, hey, we don't want this guy anymore. He's not worth it.
It is hilarious. They traded him out of fear he was going to get hurt for Anthony Davis. Like, what was that? Okay. All right. Jordan Schultz, NFL Insider, is coming up at 3:20. Looking forward to that. Tough one for the Longhorns last night. Brian's Longhorns.
Yeah, they fell apart.
They led Xavier by double digits. Mm. And then Marcus Foster with 22 and Zach Fremantle. Never heard of the guy.
Fremantle.
But
so we sail in Australia, Fremantle.
Yeah, he had 15 big points, including the go-ahead turnaround jumper. Players mentioned how the fans were amazing, though. And this ticked me off after the game. It was a big-time determining factor, just 50 miles. They were a supercharged fan base because they'd won a bunch of games to close out the regular season.
Yeah.
They were going on this Cinderella run, and they hit like three shots in a row, and they're still down. But the arena's going nuts like it's a damn NBA playoff game.
Yeah.
Supposed to be a neutral site. They got to get this fixed, don't you think?
I just would say find a way not to have to be in the first four game.
Yeah,
that would be number one. If you asked me to get this thing fixed, I would say, listen, win more games so you're not in the first four. That would probably help your situation.
That's probably why they fired Coach Rodney Terry today.
Yeah. They got
out of here.
They say enough is enough.
Yep.
They thought he saved his job in the tournament, the SEC tournament, beating Texas A&M.
Guess it was a hell of a win.
Yeah,
I thought
he could get him in the first four to play 50 miles away from Cincinnati. Yeah, okay.
Jeez. Big expectations. I like the freshman guard that they have. I don't know if he's coming out. It seems like he's
Trey Johnson.
Pretty NBA ready.
Yeah. He is projected to be probably like a top eight pick. Maybe even higher. He is awesome. There's no question about that. The Rodney Terry stuff felt a little bit like Rick Bonus with the Stars, where he takes over after you fire a coach midseason. You had, of course, the Monty stuff, and then Chris Beard gets fired because of what happened with him off the court. And then Rodney Terry, they go on a nice run. But I do think they could probably upgrade. They're the buyout, $5.4 million. But Texas has the money.
Chump change.
Thanks to you, Brian, paying tuition.
Thanks to me paying for, fraternity dues, too. Throw that in there. Can I write that off, Dawson, do you think, fraternity dues?
Yeah, absolutely.
I don't know. Probably have to ask your guy. Yeah. Seems like you should be able to.
Yeah.
Dallas Stars in action tonight, host Tampa at 7 o'clock.
That's a big one.
So, yeah. Yeah, that is a big one. We need to see like a convincing victory.
Yeah, I think so.
You know, run this thing up on the scoreboard like they were there for a while.
9 straight at home would be really nice.
Yes, sir, it would. Big game tomorrow for the Mavs hosting Detroit. Cade Cunningham's return to DFW. Let's hope he goes off.
Mm-hmm.
Got to stack up all these losses. We're now tied with Phoenix, 33-37 for the 10th spot. You're about to like quintuple your chances for Cooper Flagg from like 2% to 8%.
It's like
I think
that South Park episode.
Yeah.
Hey, Sec, worse than us.
Yeah, neither one of these teams really wants anything to happen so other bad than just for the season to end. Eddie Jordan, Formula One team owner, television pundit, passed away at the age of 76.
This is sad. Eddie had cancer, and Eddie is one of the most outspoken team principals in the history. He had Michael Schumacher in Eddie was just, if you're a fan of Formula One, you'll know who Eddie is. He was a tremendous guy around, and he actually represented several drivers on the circuit. So he always had really good insight. He was like a really good F1 insider. So that's a big loss, and you know, cancer doesn't wait for anybody.
No, an aggressive prostate cancer, which is usually pretty chill.
Treatable, yeah. Yeah,
but not this time. G-Bag of the Day is coming up at 2:30. NFL True or Fart is next with Woolchuck here. Post-free agency edition. What's the facts now? It's next in the nation.
If you have a locked AT&T phone, we're here with Bolt Cutters. T-Mobile will help pay off your locked phone and give you a new 5G phone for free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom.
Via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax and a $10 device connection charge. Qualifying port and trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement as due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early.
Survivor 48 is here. And after every episode, dig deep into the show with On Fire, the official Survivor podcast. Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast with me, Jeff Probst, every Wednesday after the show, wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back. It is the G-Bag Nation here on 105.3 The Fan. G-Bag of the Day is coming up at 2:30. It's time for NFL True or Fart with Woolchuck. Cold beers and cheeseburgers tomorrow when you list. Please join us. Segments brought to you by the Frankels. If you've been injured in a car, truck, wreck, call the Frankels first, 214 or 817-333-3333. There's never an out-of-pocket cost. They only get paid when you win. The Frankels, the go-to car and truck wreck attorneys in Dallas. Here he is, Woolchuck.
Yep, party with us tomorrow. It's going to be awesome. Last time at Cold Beers and Cheeseburgers, my goodness gracious, barely made it out alive. We'll see what ends up happening this go-around, but let's do it. It's time for NFL True or Fart post-free agency edition. Take it away, Robert Flores.
All right, we've moved to the red zone as far as the running back conversation goes here on this SportsCenter Fantasy Draft Special. True or Fart, false. Marshawn Lynch matches last year's production.
All right, we begin inside the NFC. True or Fart, Gavin Dawson. Ooh. The Commanders of Washington are now better than the Eagles after acquiring Deebo Samuel and Laremy Tunsil.
Oh, I'm going to have to fart on that. I think the Eagles' advantage was quite significant. They seem to have players ready to fill into their void, so they definitely deserve the benefit of the doubt there. But, I mean, keep in mind, the Cowboys beat Washington and almost beat them again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know?
Mariota hadn't come in.
Yeah.
Marcus.
They have a ways to go, and I don't think Debo's that good. Yeah. Debo's not that good anymore. You know, he kind of has a career arc of a running back because of how physically violent that he played.
Yeah, I would go fart there as well. I think Jaden Daniels still has to do a ton of heavy lifting to overcome some of the obstacles that that roster presents. And they've probably gotten some level of better, but they haven't gotten filthy better. Filthy smoked them.
I'm going to say true because you got to tell me who the offensive coordinator and how what kind of job he's going to do in Philly. I think Kellen Moore is actually pretty good doing that. And I think the reason why they won the Super Bowl was he was kind of committed to doing some things, handing that ball off. When they've made coordinator changes, they've struggled. I'm going to say Commanders better.
Ooh, so the reason so the Eagles won the Super Bowl was Kellen Moore.
Damn right.
According to Brian Broaddus.
According to Brian Broaddus.
He handed the ball off enough.
That's a guy who knows a thing or two about Super Bowl championing.
Well.
I just did that to be different.
You know, I'll be different and go true as well. Because the Eagles have lost some pieces on defense. No more Josh Sweat. No more C.J. Gardner-Johnson. Hey, for whatever reason, even if we don't think C.J. Gardner-Johnson's good,
he's not.
That secondary went to hell after he left. Maybe he was the connector. Maybe he was their Dante Exum. For that secondary, that trash talk, that swagger. They don't have them anymore.
Come on, Zach.
They're about to fall apart.
You know the corners were bad.
You know what? I might. He's ignoring that obvious.
Gosh, I know that, Brian, okay? I know that.
I'll stay open-minded to it. Let me see what happens with the tush push.
Yeah, if we get that banned, then I think that's a good thing for Jaden Daniels and the Commandos, and really the Cowboys as well. Okay, how about this? We stay in conference. The 49ers Super Bowl window, it is closed. It is over. Eric Chiafalo.
True. This is under the assumption that they're about to hand a contract to Brock Purdy.
Which all signs indicate they are.
So with that in mind, I will say true. That'll be the kiss of death in terms of winning a Super Bowl for them.
Mm.
Yeah, they got old in some key spots. And now they got to pay the guy. They're having to let other players go. There's no way this continues. You know, this is, I would say, the second biggest only to the Mavs turn for the worst that we've seen in sport over the last 2 months. The Niners are done.
That is a big fart right there. The 49ers are done. Injury got them last year. That's what got them.
Lefty got us.
Yeah. They got guys that will be back healthy. You talk about paying the quarterback. I agree with what you're saying there. But, you know, we thought they were going to lose some guys along the way as far as, like, you know, with Kyle Juszczyk and others, and they come back. They still got a really good core of offense right there. I'm going to say they're going to be competitive in the West.
I still think they will be competitive, but they will not be the regular season mm-hmm. gauntlet that they had been for a handful
Who's
of
better,
years.
San Francisco or Dallas right now?
Oh, San Francisco's better than Dallas. Yeah. I'm comfortable saying that.
Yeah. No, I wasn't trying to challenge. I was just asking. In your opinion,
San Francisco's still better than Dallas.
Yeah, the Cowboys haven't proven they can beat them. But you lose Dre Greenlaw, Hufanga, Charvarius Ward, Javon Hargrave, Leonard Floyd, Debo. It is a lot. It is a lot that they have lost. They have to replace.
And McCaffrey's old. Remember? Yeah. Okay, so
you don't know about the health.
Prime McCaffrey stepped in, turned their average offense into elite. Now he's old.
I see what you're saying. Injury though is big. They still got guys. Bosa's still a good player for them. Fred Warner's still a good player for them.
You could say the same thing about the Cowboys. You could say they still have good players.
I think that's why I think Dallas and San Francisco are like the same team.
Okay, yeah, I agree with that.
Yeah.
The Bears.
And I think San Francisco is better than Dallas. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, I mean, head-to-head, until the Cowboys prove they can beat them. Yeah. You got to kind of lean San Francisco there. So I'm with you on that. Okay, Brian, the Bears, after their offseason moves, building up this offensive line, you get Joe Tooney, you get Jonah Jackson, they sign the center, Drew Dahlman. They will be a playoff team next year.
I'm going to say that's a fart because I think there's three teams in their division that are better than them. I think Detroit's clearly better, Green Bay's better. And the Vikings are better, so I'm going to say that's a fart.
I lean fart here as well. I do think this will be a step in the right direction type year, but it's a lot of newness in, as Broaddus mentioned, probably the most difficult division
like
in the sport.
Yeah,
exactly. Not Ooh. Like a little bit of a bashful one.
Didn't mean it. Oh, oops, sorry.
They have quite a bit of catching up to do. I'm going to go ahead and bet on them, though. I'm going to say true. I think Caleb Williams had a pretty good rookie year. You protect him better. You get a runner. You know, I think this Bears team is ready to take the next step.
I could see it, but I am going to go far just because there's so much unknown, right? Like Ben Johnson, is he going to be a good head coach? I'm hopeful. I'm optimistic. I think he probably will be, but we still have to see it first. And we'll see how good this offensive line is kind of paying for it in the interior. And then do they take another lineman? Does Genty get there? There's still some things that we got to figure out on that Bears squad.
Yeah, if they were in the NFC South or the AFC South or one of those type divisions, you'd be like, yeah, because you can squint and be like, yeah, this could win 9, maybe 10 games in a bad division. But I don't think so in that division.
All right, last one here. Gavin Dawson.
Let's rock, Wolchuk.
The Cowboys running back room with Miles Sanders and Javonte Williams is better than what they had a year ago.
Well, I'm going to have to fart on that. I think the Cowboys fumbled this one pretty badly. I don't know. Did things get weird with Rico? I remember a couple of years ago there was a playoff game where he was just like not active, and we didn't get a great explanation on that. So I wondered like how well
they didn't like his attitude.
There you go. See, that's why he's not here.
At the time, they didn't like his attitude.
Right. Yeah. And I think if you're a bad attitude guy, you don't really change your stripes that much. So I think the Cowboys messed this one up, and there has to be some other explanation for why they did this, because they made themselves worse. And now if you'd have Rico right now and decided to not pick a guy in the draft, that'd be fine. He got you 4.5 yards a carry last year. It was 10th best in the NFL. Like, what he did with this line was great. And you let him walk 1 year and $3 million. That was the biggest mistake they had.
Yeah, that's a big-time fart right now. After the draft, I think we're having a different conversation. But as it stands right now, I don't even know if Miles Sanders is going to be on the roster week one.
Yeah, I've compared kind of like the Royce Freeman signing a year ago. Where like, he's a camp body, but I would not be surprised if he does not make the squad.
He's a man with a pulse.
This is Monty Kiffin blowing out the scout's commode in the scouting bathroom.
Oh, boom. I'll never forget that horror story.
Gosh, that commode.
That was just Monty in there, a lot of going on, gnashing of teeth or whatever you want to see. But yeah, that's
unforgivable. The walls. Yeah.
I can't believe he flushed his damn diaper. That is cardinal sin.
So you clog the toilet. It was, it's a rookie mistake there at the senior living center.
Amazing how loud that was. Big time fart.
Into the pimp cup. Where Lucius Alexander. How's your G-bag today?
Yeah, that's a big old bean fart on that one. That's what I'm going to do, because you got to think about the secondary and the things they've done in the past few seasons.
There you go.
And the needs that they have fart on defense. On yeah.
Damn earthquake.
Big sloppy fart on that one. What do you think, Broadus?
Yeah, that segment is wild to me, bro. Because it'd be real takes, but first you got to say something ridiculous like, yeah, man, I'm going to fart on that because the coach is kind of shaky. And no, sure. Man, you said there was a fart. No, you said you farted on that, man.
Can you imagine?
You gotta stand on it, bro.
Can you imagine winning an award with that segment, and then they have the nominees are true or fart.
We're on our way, boys.
Jeez, I'd like to thank the Academy for.
You gotta stand on that fart.
Oh yeah,
you gotta stand on that, bro.
I feel like we just heard Lucius explain how he explains the show to his friends that haven't heard it.
Oh, you don't know the show? Here you go.
Man, for he is a jolly good fellow. For he is a jolly good fellow. Brought us, we appreciate the lunch. What did you bring us there, sir?
Okay, well, it was, we talked about this. This was Kansas City did a take on the brat with the brisket with the mac and cheese.
Yeah.
For Dawson, for the Lent thing, we put it on a big flour tortilla. So we mixed the chopped beef with that. I took the brat out of the casing mixed it up and then put it with the mac and cheese. So all that combination on a big flour tortilla and with barbecue sauce. So that's what you had.
That was great, man. Chef's kiss. Yeah. I had it with some regular Lays.
Yeah.
Yeah, hit the spot.
You knew what to do.
Oh, some regular Lays with that.
The salt factor.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
It basically ate as a mac and cheese brisket burrito.
Yeah.
I think if you put...
It's tremendous.
I think if you grilled the brats and then put it in a bun, like after the Lent thing that we're doing... I think it might even be better.
That was good, man.
Yeah, thank you. Appreciate the words.
Appreciate it.
No problem. Excellent.
All right, winner and champ right here of G-Bag of the Day so far. I think this is day two. Am I in day two? Day two? Day three, maybe? Michigan High School basketball phenom, Keyshawn Somerville.
Oh, I think this is three.
Okay.
Pretty looking for four, probably.
Yeah, yeah.
He's a point god up there in Lansing having his way. He hit a half-court buzzer beater to take his team into the regionals or win the regionals, whatever the case was. Anyway, this lady manifested the whole half-court shot right here. She might be his muse for all I know.
It ain't over. It's not over. Keyshawn can make it. I know he can. Come on, Key. Yeah!
The buzzer and everything.
Yes. Man.
That's so great.
Yeah! It's got to be her son, right?
Yeah.
It's amazing.
I don't know, man. I think
it might be the aunt.
Might be the aunt. Ooh, okay. Might be a fan.
I think the family's around her. And
That's a packed ass gym.
Yeah, the cousin's sitting in front with his arms folded, like not caring right now.
Because she thinks just hitting bad.
She's like,
bam.
He can do this. He's just sitting there watching it.
Yeah. That's enough, lady.
Yeah.
You're making me nervous now. All right, let's see here. This is from Toxic Tuesday. I got some DMs saying this should be G Back of the Day. Mm. Broadcasting blunders, softball home plate umpire.
Oh,
takes a softball right to the nads. I'm talking about that. Ladies, you know how they do that little wrap around their arms and then pow, let it go and they smack the glove on their thigh. It was gone. He took it right to the nads in front of so many people. So many people.
This is violent.
Yeah.
It's so good.
He's wanting to throw up at this point.
You know it's
bad. I just called somebody.
Because we got a ball rupture.
That is crazy. I just called somebody.
Oh, man.
Called the NAD doctor. He's on his way, man. Just roll it over.
Rotor.
I just so happen to know a guy.
You could hear the impact, and then his voice goes up an octave. You know it's bad.
Yeah, somebody on Fantech said it sounded like whale calls.
That's the umpire.
Yeah, so I'm playing.
They don't wear a cup. That's crazy to be back there.
That's
got that pad that they hold.
They
got
to have something.
Someone's standing back there naked though, just with a chest protector.
The balls on that guy.
Crazy, right?
He trusted a catcher.
A little too big.
His former balls.
Yeah.
Size of softball.
Let's see.
There was a NAD smacking last night in the Longhorns game. Dude closes out on a three. Guy goes to jump to the right, maybe to reset for a three, and just lifts perfectly into his groin. It was it was like Taekwondo quality.
Did my man react?
Oh, he went down. Yeah. It took him a while.
Did he go grab down there?
Oh, yes. Wait, yeah. He was doubled over.
My coach taught me in junior high school out there in the middle of a game.
Go grab.
I got hit in the nads too, and he was like, grab your elbow. Yeah. Grab your wrist. Because I was,
Don't let him know.
What sets everybody off though is when they start moving your feet, your leg. Have you ever done that technique? Yeah.
They drop your butt.
They make you sit down and then they start moving your legs.
Get away from me.
That's like very 1980s.
Yeah.
It's like when you got hit, it's like, okay, they pick up your feet and they start moving your legs.
How many fingers am I holding up, kid? Potato. Get back in there. You're good.
Get back in the potato.
No doubt.
All right. Comedian Frank Caliendo joined us yesterday here on 105.3 The Fan, G-Bag Nation. He had a Jim Rome in his bag. I did not know this. It was fire.
Mm-hmm. Has anybody ever been sort of embarrassed or disrespected by you impersonating them, or do they all take it in stride?
Sports guys are a little weird sometimes because they're used to being put on pedestals. The guy that I still like him, even though he's never liked me, is phenomenal, incredible. How great is this? Caliendo doing the impression instead of saying the voice. Great job by him. Better job by me.
That's good, dog.
Great job by him.
Better job by him.
Phenomenal, incredible. That's great, dog.
Spot on.
Yeah. And yesterday was a church day. I pray you got your blessing, because there's a blessing out here for you, man. Just ask God. Shout out to my Reverend Dr. Pastor Freddie Haynes and Reverend Ike. TV televangelist Reverend Ike just shining on TV, boy. Especially those 80s cameras when they glisten would pop back at you.
Weird filters.
I think this pastor right here could have used some other words when talking about the story of David in the Bible.
For David, it was a beautiful woman. He just loved what he saw. Why is everybody just looking at me? At least he was not the homo.
Oh.
I mean, I'm just saying.
I'm just saying.
At least he wasn't getting.
Jeez, bro.
Just saying.
Jeez. Might not get the call up to the big church after that
no.
one.
Visiting pastor.
It definitely scores high in the comedy department, though.
Yeah.
Comedy category high. Oh, is it Keyshawn? Three looking for four. Man, what a fun time that must have been. Umpire got a foul tip to the Nats. That was not fun. Frank Caliendo ended the show in Jim Rome style there, and the pastor with the story of David's pretty funny too. You know, I'm gonna vote for Key there myself, Chief.
I'm gonna go with the ump. Lucius.
Shoot, man. Michigan high school basketball player. Even though that pass was crazy.
This is very, very difficult. I'm going to go with the umpire getting hit in the gonads.
Yeah, I think the ump, please, yeah.
By a score of 3-2, new G-Bag of the Day champion, Keyshawn finally met a challenge that he could not rise to. It was a hilarious umpire getting hit between the legs during a softball game. Okay, when we return here, what is being called the Evan Carter conundrum in surprise? How would you solve it? We'll talk some Rangers baseball with you next year. It's the G-Bag Nation and the Fam. Thank you very much, Lucius. We got something brewing here, guys. 2 minutes to go, first half. NCAA tournament, Auburn leading Alabama State 32-29.
Yeah,
Alabama. This is enough to put it on upset alert right now.
Yeah, Alabama State has done a really nice job. You know, the outside shooting has been, from what I can see every once in a while, they're knocking these things down, but like they're just like picking up Auburn full court. So they're going to play 40 minutes of just try and get up on Auburn and see if they can force them into some mistakes. And early in this game, they have. So, the tip of the cap to Alabama A&M, who got into the tournament. Aren't they the ones with the last second shot, the heave-ho play down the
Alabama
court?
Alabama State, absolutely.
Yep.
32-31 with 1:45 to go. That's in the first half, so we'll keep you updated here over the next hour or so with an eye on the NCAA tournament. We got to talk about this Ranger storyline here, and I think it's one of those things that's a little bit uncomfortable to talk about because people are sensitive to Evan Carter's injury situation, and let's be honest, he's a World Series hero.
He is.
He always will
Absolutely.
Yeah. Nothing else you can do about it. But the headline is the Evan Carter conundrum. Texas Rangers Bruce Bochy faced tricky decision on young lefty. This is Kevin Sherrington writing about this. Jared Sandler was talking to us about this yesterday, as a matter of fact, that it's not a for sure thing that Evan Carter will be on the roster opening day. Maybe just leave Carter in the minors as Tavares is seeing lefties better. He's having more quality at bats. And, you know, if you're a contending team, you don't want to be trying to develop a guy against lefties in the middle of your big league season. At the same time, he's never going to be able to get better against lefties if he doesn't have ABs.
Yeah.
The further complicating factor is, of course, his back situation. How long does he have? Do you just want to make the most of it while you can right now and platoon him and just say, hey, guess what? You're going to be a platoon outfielder and just dominate right-handed pitching until your body decides that it doesn't want to, you know, support you anymore. But it's a tough one. I mean, you could trade Tavares and go with Pilar. You could
Pilar said, I think he's hitting 275 in the spring.
He's
doing a nice job.
You know what I'd do, Wolchuk? I'd clear it all out for Osuna.
I know you would. Guys, you and Hagee are big Osuna fans. And you know what?
Ceiling guy, huh?
He might end up making an appearance and never giving that spot back this year. That's possible. I don't think he's not going to start the roster with the big league club. But, hey, over the course of the season, we've seen it. And it is – I mean, I've thought that Leody would get moved prior to the season starting because both of their weaknesses, him and Evan Carter, is against lefties. So if you wanted to have Evan Carter platoon with Leody and Carter's going to hit the righties – you don't really want Leody against the lefties either, but he has had a better spring, I think, overall consistency. And I guess, Boach, the point was, like, would you rather have Evan Carter playing here and there or starting every day and leading off at Round Rock and really getting the opportunity to prove in advance against lefty pitching? I mean, when we had him on at spring training in surprise, I asked him about the lefties? And does that just get annoying to answer? And he sounded frustrated by it. He acknowledged, yes. Yeah. Like everyone, that's all people want to talk about is hitting. And I guess he doesn't have the opportunity to prove it unless he's given the opportunity to do it. You've got to put him out there against lefties and see how he does.
I mean, the uncomfortable thing is he's not hitting righties great in Cactus League play either. I mean, overall, his batting average, I think right now, is right at 200. So wouldn't the, if you're putting organization first, like if you're putting Evan Carter first, you leave him in the big leagues and you let him do whatever he can do while, as long as he can. But the best interest of the organization is probably to send him down to the minors unless he's absolutely going to be dominating right-handed pitching in a way that forces you to put him in the big league lineup, isn't it? And go with Taveras?
It is a conversation I did not think we'd be having. I did not envision Evan Carter not starting on the big league club. But with how Kevin Pillar's played, and he is better against lefties than both Carter and Leody, I could see it making more sense. You platoon Leody and Kevin Pillar, and you allow Evan Carter time to prove that he can get better in the minors.
Yeah, see what happens.
It's wild.
It is crazy that how good he was, you know, now it's like, I don't even know if he's one of our best 26 guys.
But I also wonder, is he just like a gamer type? You know, I mean, he honestly wasn't supposed to even come up that year when they made the World Series. Adolis got hurt.
Yeah.
And so it forced their hand to go ahead and bring up Evan Carter. That wasn't really in their plan. So the whole thing is, hey, maybe if their plan is we're going to put Evan Carter down, let him make that decision for you. Maybe you start him at the big league club and he doesn't play well and then send him back down and get his confidence back.
All righty. Good stuff. Jacob deGrom knocked around during yesterday's show a little bit, went four innings, gave up four hits, two runs. Could have been worse. Wasn't the end of the world. Says it was just his mechanics, and he's confident he'll be ready to go. His first start coming up there, I believe in 10 days against the Reds. Other storylines as they hit the final days in surprise, Corey Seager is heating up at the right time. Over the last week, he's 4 of 7 with 3 extra base hits and 5 walks to just 1 strikeout. So salute to him. Ezekiel Duran has been sent down to minor league camp. He's been brutal. And then mentioned Asuna, his 6th extra base hit of Cactus League play yesterday ties him for the league lead. I mean, you can't help but notice him. As soon as we got there, the first time we got to watch him play, he hit a ball into the gap and is running the bases like he's Marshawn Lynch or something.
Mm-hmm.
Just an absolute force of nature when he rounds first, and you know, kind of reminds me of Pete Rose, the way that he plays there with
old
that
school,
hair,
old school Pete Rose. Yeah, I tell you what, the thing that, and you listen to Bruce Bochy talk about him, and you brought up the run, the base run. They say he's playing well offensively, defensively, and the run in the bases. And then, you know, you catch the eye of the manager, and then what do? They meet at night. They talk about these players, and you know, I'm sure he's one of these guys that, you know, that I'm sure they take his tag and they kind of tilt it on the board and they say, well, let's talk about this guy as a relation to everybody else on the, you know, on the roster right now. So I'm sure Chris is like going, okay, let's have a conversation about him. And then, you know, everybody, scouts speak up, manager speaks up. Yeah, I'm fascinated with this, what they're going to do with this guy.
CY talks a lot about performance.
Yeah.
The problem is you get such a difference of opinion when it comes to spring training. Like, you can't rely on that as the outlier for, oh, this guy is actually going to carry this into the regular season. So I don't know how much weight they're going to put on that.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see. Okay, it'll be interesting to see what Wolchuk has in the NFL News of the Day, which is coming up next as we watch the NCAA tournament here in studio. Zach, what's cooking out there?
Another trusted draft source is connecting this player to the Cowboys and shots fired at Pittsburgh.